Welcome to Chronic Combat Conversations, a live look at our best bets, picks, and predictions for every UFC event with your host, TB Scouting MMA, and
the guru back again from the lovely Apex Arena. We've got UFC Vegas 87, Jairzinho Rozenstruik taking on Shamil Gaziev in your heavyweight main event. But before we can get to this absolutely chalky card, we've got to talk about our special guest in the building, a man of few words, tons of bets, and even bigger cash outs. We've got Pepe Silvia in the building. Make sure you're following him on Bet MMA Tips. He's up nearly 400 units on there, quietly. This is not a guy that self-promotes, but we are very happy to have him on for his first ever time on the show. Welcome, Pepe.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate being asked to be on the show. Looking forward to breaking the card down. And Guru, I heard you were the one that leaked the Drake video, the infamous Drake video. Is that true?
I may or may not have been there with the tripod. And, you know, he's asking for the right angles. And, you know, I always got to hit my boy up right, you know. So,
yeah,
if he's any more famous, you're welcome.
I knew you were a man of art.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, what better way?
That was disturbing.
Listen, if you know the guru and you've been following him forever, here's the explanation, Prince of Mischief. Guru was swimming in it, baby. That's why Jairzinho Biggie Boy Rozenstruik with the goggles. That was his profile picture when he first got things rolling over here. Then I made him the most official and beautiful logo, as you can see here. I mean, amazing graphic design skills I have. But please,
Shout out to Rich Just Win Baby. Sent me a couple awesome AI, you know, new profile pictures. I might even use one. So seriously, Rich, like, thank you so much for that. That was fire.
Good dude. And hey, listen, Pepe, he is the go, man. Listen, if you guys are in here, and I know you are, please throw a like on the video right now. It helps us out so much. If you're a new person in the chat, Bryce, how you doing, man? Throw a subscribe on the channel. We bring fire guests every week. And honestly, I don't think it gets better than what we got going on right now. So link in the description to Pepe Silvia on Twitter and Bet MMA. Make sure you guys check that out. We go live every Wednesday, 8 p.m. EST. What you guys are here for, let's get into it right now. We got the main event that was just too hot for Saudi Arabia that they brought it to the Apex. We got Biggie Boy Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Big Meal Shamil Gaziev. Oh, man, this is going to be an absolutely incredible, sloppy, disgusting fight. But I can't wait to break it down, man, because as you throw on the tape for Big Meal Shamil, oh, yeah, sharp mofos in the chat, on the panel. Liam, what's going on, man? Appreciate you. Big Brain MMA, King Pep. Oh, yeah, what's going on, Steve? How you doing? Thanks for joining the chat. We got all the peeps in the community. Appreciate all you guys. But what you all came for is Big Meal Shamil Fight Week. Let's be honest. As you throw on the tape, I mean, is there anything that really points you in the direction of Big Meal? But it just feels like this is the right spot for him. I mean, on paper, seeing Jairzinho Rozenstruik at 6'2", guys, that's a lie. It's a flat-out lie. I mean, Big Meal is going to have at least 4 inches of height on this guy. Also, I mean, his striking, while he leaves his chin, like, available, I also think that, you know, Shamil's got a decent amount of athleticism and pop in his strikes. He throws in combination. He throws with volume. Now, he might, like, need an AED after 6 minutes after he knocks out Martin Budaya volume, but listen, I mean, 50 significant strikes for a heavyweight through 6 minutes. I mean, geez, I'd probably need some fucking oxygen at that point. So, let's be real here. This was supposed to happen in Saudi Arabia. Like, the king of Bahrain is supporting Shamil Gaziev, the first UFC fighter from Bahrain. And that's why they're giving this guy a UFC main event from the Apex. I mean, it was supposed to be in Saudi, but versus a guy that he could totally, you know, he's got more tools in the toolbox to win this fight. I think that's what it comes down to. And Biggie Boy, listen, if Big Meal comes in there swinging wild, leaving his chin in the air, there's a great chance that Biggie Boy can just catch that chin. But, like, I just don't think it's really the right spot here. I got Big Meal Shamil. I didn't get quite as good a line as Guru. So, Guru, what do you got cooking here?
I did. I ended up getting a little earlier than you did. I saw that line was sliding. I was able to get 2.5 units down at -138 As you can see, that line has kind of moved to, you know, nearly the minus 170 territory. And my thought was, is as close as you can get to pick him and you're able to take the guy that's better at MMA overall, I mean, that's, I think, where you want to be. As the line gets further and further apart, listen, the guy's tape is sketchy. I mean, you watch Shamil, there is nothing that, like you said, there is nothing there that, like, wow, he's a lights out killer. I mean, he's a wrestling phenom. I mean, he goes for it right away. Like, I can't say any of that shit about Shamil. Shamil gets a takedown, a knockdown on Greg Velasco. I mean, 30 seconds into the fight, and he gets reversed by a guy that should be a light heavyweight, a guy smaller than him. I mean, it's bad. So at the same time, you watch somebody in Jarzinho Rozenstruik, and he's really just kind of used his athleticism to try to defend takedowns and then get back up. And then you watch in the Jolton Almeida fight, he's fucked. I mean, the reason the fight stalls for so long is because Jarzinho is stalling. He is gripping and using the backlocks to try to stay on there with all his life. But eventually he tries to use the cage to escape. And that's when he gets choked and then pounded out. And then choked down. So it was really
sounds like a normal Guru Saturday night.
Listen, you know what I'm saying? I do what I gotta do. And, you know, this Saturday night, I do expect Big Meal Shamil to come away with the finish early. But I was looking up to see on FanDuel, because FanDuel is very special with that. Listen, this is what you do. If you like Biggie Boy, you go to FanDuel and you bet Biggie Boy plus 230 by KO in round one or two. You know what I'm saying? Like, you even go plus 195 KO round one, two, three. Otherwise, you're just taking his money line because they're hip to it. His KO prop is plus 160. His money line is plus 130. I mean, not really worth it to me at those odds. But if you want to get round specific, then that's fine. Otherwise, I'm absolutely on Big Meal Shamil. I feel very comfortable with my closing line value. And TB, I think you're right. I think this is a setup spot. But before I pass it off to Pepe, I do want to say the last time there was a setup spot for a guy that came off one fight and it was a big, big finish was, what's his name? Abbas Magomedov. And that dude was as fraudulent as it could get. But people don't remember that because he was Pick'em versus Sean Strickland. So shades of that, maybe? What do you think, Pepe?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go the other way. You know, my betting style, I usually don't like to bet against the black guy, so it kind of fits here. But yeah, Rozenstruik is like, he's like a good gatekeeper for the rankings. You know, he beats the lower level guys, and then the higher skilled guys get through him pretty easy. My only issue with round one or two is we've seen him get KOs later on in fights, and Gaziev doesn't have good cardio. So I could see a scenario where Biggie Boy is just stalling. Gaziev doesn't have the jiu-jitsu that Jolton Almeida has. And I could see him just burning clock on bottom and, you know, just letting clock slip away and then just biding his time and gassing Shamil out. I haven't been as high on Gaziev as other people. Like we were talking about, on air before we got on air about how I like to bet regionals. I actually tried fading him in Brave and on Aries and lost both times. So I don't know if I'm going to put my money. I don't want to burn more money trying to fade this guy. Clearly he's leveling up. He looked a lot better. Although Boudet didn't offer any resistance. Like, he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't even fighting back, but Boudet's like a lower level, bottom tier heavyweight. This is certainly a step up. Rozenstruik has fought the much better competition. And, you know, if he's able to keep it on the feet, I think Gaziev is fucked. He's open to be countered. He wings his punches. And Rozenstruik has huge power. So I don't want to get in the way of Rozenstruik. But yeah, I don't have a great read on the fight. You know, it's definitely a volatile fight. If Gaziev gets him down, he should be able to have his way. But you never really know. He hasn't been tested deep And his fights that have been extended, he gassed out very bad. But you guys are absolutely correct when you say it's a setup fight for him. Obviously, they were trying to have this card in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, it's a showcase fight for Gaziev. We saw in the Contender Series, they're really trying to push these Bahrain fighters. And like you said, he's the first one. And he's going from curtain jerker to main event. So, yeah, I don't – this is a prove-it-to-me spot for Gaziev. One, I don't think I want to be invested in.
Yeah, it makes sense. And listen, from a value perspective, I can't tell you to really go start laying big money on Shamil here. It's just one of those feelings that at the end of the day, we could say, oh, there's interest in a dog shop. But, you know, sometimes what the UFC wants, the UFC gets. So I appreciate you not willing to put your money to find out. Because from the tape, I mean, the guy, really, there is nothing that you see there that's like, oh, my God, I need to get on it. But the size could play a factor. So that's something that has played against Jarzinho against some other fighters. It's like,
there's something there you see that you want to get on. Don't you lie. You want to get on Big Meal Shamil.
Biggie Boy might be bigger in other areas, though. So
that could play into it. Also, look at them titties, bro. Like, he's packing over there. So, Jesus. All right. Anyways, we're moving on before we get to some more Drake Uncut action over here. We've got Vitor Bobby Petrino versus Tyson Fury Pedro. Couple of real bangers out here. -305 on the Petrino side. Yep, pretty terrible. +245 on the Pedro side. But did you prefer Tyson Pedro Martinez? Would that have been better?
No, I hated that so much. But Andrew Gombas did like it, so it's like
I do like Tyson Pedro Martinez. One of my favorite pitchers ever. Anyways, Vitor Petrino here, man. I mean, -305. As far as a money line perspective, please, God, no. But at the same time, I mean, have we seen Tyson Pedro really win a fight outside of round one?
If anybody says yes, they're a fucking liar.
Yeah, don't lie to me.
Because all of his 10 professional wins are by round one finish.
So, like, is a round one finish, like, do you have to do that for the culture for, like, the Pedro side here?
I mean, I think you absolutely have to take it at +850 for the culture. But, right. You know, I mean, if you think that's like the only possible chance he has, like, I'm not super convinced, but right. I mean, at +850, you've got my attention.
Right. So, I mean, we've seen Petrino kind of wobbled here and there. We've seen Petrino kind of, you know, controlled here and there, but I mean, the raw athleticism, the power, his chin, I mean, the dude has got to be on a lot of vitamins is the way I'll put it. But, who are you betting on though? That's the question. Woe is me. I might consider giving it to you, but I got to know what you're betting it on.
That's very true.
Just saying. Jeez.
Can't be on Val really Woodburn.
In the chat here. Appreciate you, man. Hope you're subscribed. But Vitor Petrino, man, I just think, once again, we got another setup spot here. And Pedro, listen, you're going to have to prove it to me here. I mean, you're getting someone that, one, I mean, he's not ever lost. And, of course, he's never been finished. So realistically, and anytime I've seen him in danger with his back taken, I mean, the athleticism to break out of those positions. I know it was Anton Turcali, but I mean, listen, maybe Petrino just softened up the chin for Pedro to finish the job there. Now, what I would be worried about, the leg kicks of Pedro, maybe the speed advantage early, but how does he maintain that over the 15 minutes? And I think Petrino's size and athleticism, while he doesn't technically have the advantage in those categories, I mean, he's going to be the much better athlete. Those vitamins are doing their job. So I like Petrino here. And even if it's him controlling, clinch fucking, working his way to a round two, round three, or a decision, I mean, I kind of like the over 1.5 at -145 here because I don't like Pedro to win. But also, you know, I think Petrino kind of takes his time here and there. And Pedro has enough skill and talent to just not get obliterated easily. So I agree, Drake. He is round one or bust. But Guru, what do you got over here?
What a interesting fight. The thing, this is not really a real handicap, right? But all the time in MMA, they really love to complete that fucked up triangle, the triangle that makes no sense.
the Dober who finishes McKinney, who McKinney finishes Frivola, and Frivola finishes, right? So this is an opportunity for that to be completed as Petrino has beaten Modestus Bukauskas and Pedro lost to him. So wouldn't it make so much fucking sense for Tyson Pedro to come out here and beat Vitor Petrino to like his first ever decision type bullshit? Like, I don't know. Between the Vegas and the Apex and the judges, like, I just don't really trust anything going on. And I think to TV's point, Petrino maybe not necessarily a super urgent finisher to start fights. So I don't really know how he covers the minus 305 price tag. I think it's just a really, really tough spot. You know, you watched, and again, styles make fights, and I understand that, but you watched Tyson Pedro absolutely murder Anton Turkali. I mean, he put him down fast. And honestly, when you watch the Vitor Petrino and Anton Turkali fight, like, that's the fight that has me really, really sketched out here. Gives up like five takedowns and 5 minutes of control time to Anton Turkali. And I don't even think that guy is UFC level. I think Just Win Baby is on something. I do feel that if Vitor were to lose by finish, I actually think it is a sub or even a club and sub type situation. When you watch Vitor go in for takedowns and his body lock double leg, right? He kind of, his head is there to be guillotined. And Tyson Pedro, while the knockouts are more memorable, you look at his 10 round one finish wins, 5 submissions, 5 knockouts. The submission guys is +1,000. Vitor is a guy that is a powerful striker that doesn't strike enough and uses his wrestling and grappling too much when his wrestling and grappling aren't elite. So it's just really, really tough fight. So I think my pick is Petrino, but man, I think there's a ton of money to be made on props here, especially if we can boil down the right one. Maybe Pepe can help us out. What do you think, Pepe?
Yeah, I actually like that angle on the Pedro sub. The money line is very, I think the money line is wide for sure. We saw Petrino go not necessarily life and death with Turkali, but it was 1-1 going into round three. And a lot of his fights are quite sloppy. The Antigulov fight pre-UFC, even on Contender Series, he was dropped by Bellotto. Bellotto had his back. I think Pedro has cleaner jiu-jitsu, so I think he would have been able to finish the job there. So yeah, I don't know. I think Petrino's best path of victory would be to use his wrestling, because his wrestling has looked much improved. He's obviously improving every fight. As a young fighter, he's definitely approaching his prime. And we've seen Pedro get wrestled in multiple fights. So the path to victory is there, but I think Pedro is going to be faster than him early. He's got better striking, more technical, better defensively. His issue is obviously he slows down as fights go on. He's not a great nail. So there's definitely concerns, but it's certainly baked into the line. I think the money line side is pretty crazy. And these are both fighters that the UFC has tried to showcase, right? They gave Petrino a winnable fight in Brazil, and then they gave Pedro a winnable fight in Australia. So, you know, they've showcased both these guys. I think it's good matchmaking. I just think the number is wide.
Yeah, it makes sense. And yeah, I'm hoping to see some over here to maybe fade some narrative.
So yeah, I as far as totals go, I'm with you on the over as well. Both of them are pretty durable. I think it could be a bit of a staring contest if it stays striking. I think they're both going to respect each other's power, to be honest. But we'll see.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So we're going to move on here. We got
you got +210 on Fight Goes the Distance on Bet365.
Listen, I've seen crazier bets out there, and sometimes you just got to go ahead and fade the narrative, right?
I mean, I just think it's a really good line, because you look at FanDuel and that line's like minus one, +180. So
Bet Online has plus 215.
Wow. Yeah. So
wow. So here's my thing here. I think Guru needs to be careful. He's got a new big fan in the chat. So I don't know. Maybe Guru will start an OnlyFans for you guys. But speaking of OnlyFans, we got Alex Pullout Perez. See a lot of pulling out on that Guru's OnlyFans. Not bad, one. Right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then Mohammed the Punisher Mukhaev. So punishing the pullout. That's what we're seeing in this fight. Frankly, if Perez makes it to the octagon here, I mean, on paper, sure, the price seems a little bit wide, but you look into a couple factors, and those factors are, listen, I mean, Perez lost his title shot opportunity. That did he ever really deserve? Question mark, or was it, you know, what were we really doing there? And then you see that Perez like just can't get it to the fight. So if he gets to the fight here, you know, he's got a juice bar now. The dude's running businesses. He's not really like, I think he's just collecting a check here, promote his business on the way, and hopefully, you know, just ride into the sunset, pulling out of his UFC career. Mohammed Mukhaev, I mean, I know he lost a couple rounds on the scorecards to Tim Elliott, but let's be serious. Even if he doesn't have success wrestling early, I mean, he has enough dumb activity on the feet. You know, it's not like clean or anything like that, but I think he's got the stamina, the cardio, the youthful vigor, should we say. Alex Pullout Perez, I mean, this guy's on the verge of needing to call his doctor if, you know, it's been longer than 4 hours after he takes his blue pill. So I think Mukhaev here, listen, I'm not sure if he finds a finish here, but Perez is prone to getting subbed. So I wouldn't be surprised by anything. What up, Ryu Sozin?
Why don't you just steal my play? Why don't you just... He is getting subbed.
I didn't steal anything. I was just asking.
You're beating right around the bush there, Skeeter.
Well, I was setting you up to, you know.
He's getting subbed. The dude's been subbed 5 times, and Mukhaev has 4 UFC level submissions. He's gonna get the sub. What he did versus Tim Elliott, I was very, very impressed the way he pulled that out. So I absolutely expect Perez to play in the game with him. I think Mukhaev's wrestling is still somehow underrated. And I think he finds a sub and he finds himself fighting Pantoja at 301. Hey, listen, I'm getting Mukhaev minus 340 Mukhaev. Is that true?
Right. But like, yeah. What if he can't just land easy takedowns on him?
Mukhaev's up to like minus 390. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, what is Perez's game plan? He's going to stay at distance with him for 15 minutes. He wants to grapple too. It's going to the ground, and he's going to get submitted like a JB, and he's going to take his final UFC contract to his juice bar and go relax.
The JB but juice bar.
Listen, I'm taking a guy that's at minus 390. I'm turning him to plus 160, right? So give me Mukhaev by submission.
Thread in the needle. What do you got here, Pepe?
So I don't have anything officially on this, but I think the jury's still out on Perez. You know, he's only fought twice in the past few years. You know, he seems to get handled by the upper level competition, and then he's able to beat the lower level guys, kind of like Rosenstruck. It does seem kind of like a showcase spot for Mukhaev, obviously a Muslim, and they were going to have this card in Saudi Arabia. He's definitely the prospect that's being pushed. But yeah, I just don't have a great read on Perez, to be honest. And Mukhaev's been a little underwhelming. You know, although he's been able to pull submissions out in his past couple wins, he was actually down on the scorecards against Elliott. Elliott used his wrestling to get Mukhaev down in round one. I could actually see Perez getting him down and then getting stuck in an armbar. You know, he has a thing for getting himself in precarious positions. So I don't hate the submission look. But I guess, you know, in all of his submissions, except for the Durden one, they've come later in the fight. So sub 2-3 could be a decent angle depending on the number. I don't hate that, but you know, let's just see if Perez makes weight, right? You know, he's pulled out of how many fights now?
Two, like 5 or 6 or so of the 10.
Yeah.
Canceled.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years.
I mean, I get like why some people want to play Perez.
I get it too.
Like, like I said, Mekhi has been kind of underwhelming. He doesn't have much at all on the feet. He just looks to wrestle. He doesn't do a ton with his takedowns either. So, yeah, I'm just going to stay away from this one. The line is obviously – I wouldn't want to parlay Mekhayev, although he's won all of his fights. Like I said, they've been pretty close. Even Gordon reversed him and was winning minutes against him before he got the submission. So, yeah, it's a tough spot to bet, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, honestly, some of these underdogs on the card, it's like late at the bar, you're looking for the underdogs. You're like, ooh, what's in that corner over there? And you're like, oh, why hasn't this underdog been scooped up? And you're like, oh, shit, it has AIDS. Oh, no.
yeah, every week I'm like, I always get baited into playing like one of the wide underdogs, and they're very difficult to hit. It's obviously super nice when you are able to hit one, but, you know, juice has just been rolling the past few weeks. I don't know how sustainable that's going to be or if it's going to continue, but, you know, it's definitely a common theme on this card.
I just don't think that, especially with the ring rust of Perez, like he needs to kind of be a fast starter, right? Like it's just kind of what he's shown throughout his career. And even his wins, Jordan Espinoza, like, bro, like what?
His best win is definitely Formiga.
Right, which you get like leg kicks against a guy that's like just didn't want to be there and didn't take those well at all. I just feel like, you know, you look at Alex Perez and like we were all excited about the prospect he was supposed to be, 27 years old. Now he's 31, 32. Not that that's old by any means, but again, you've spent all this time on the sidelines. I just don't think he's Brian Ortega in this. So I like Mekhayev here, and I honestly think he gets it done kind of quick. The small cage doesn't help anybody that wants to stay standing.
This could be Cody Durden all over again. You never know. All right, so we got Umar, not that Nurmagomedov, versus Behzad Almakhan, the Turan warrior. Turan, I mean, does that got to be like where he's from or something? Is his ethnicity, something like that? Otherwise, I have no idea. It's like the Mongolian murder.
He's from Kazakhstan, so you're definitely in that region.
All right, fair enough. I like it. Yeah, springboard fight for Mekhayev. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, Killebrew. I like that. Harmon Killebrew? Anyways, we got Umar at minus 1,200. Behzad at plus 750. Guru, you did the proper work here. Let me know what you thought.
Listen, I honestly, both guys that are making their debuts this week, I honestly thought were very, very impressive. It's nice to flick on some regional tape and see talent. With that being said, I mean, this fight could be at its best, obviously. It could be fucking Islam Makhachev and Armin Sarukian with, you know, Armin Sarukian taking on Islam in his debut. I mean, Behzad is very good, but I just think Umar, especially on short notice, is a little bit more than he can chew. It's just biting off a little too much. His one loss is by submission. I didn't get to find the tape on that, but to me, it's kind of enough. I've seen enough tape. Whereas, like, again, Behzad, really technical striker, good wrestler, good timing on the takedowns, but I've seen some mistakes in the grappling and some of the scrambles that I just think Umar is going to capitalize. So why not change this minus 1,200 favorite into a plus 165 dog and let me get him by submission, because Umar has how many submission wins? 7 submission wins, only 2 knockouts. And, you know, otherwise it's a decision. So, I mean, could it be a decision? I wouldn't be completely surprised, but I'm going to lean in terms of the finish because, I think this guy makes a couple mistakes on the mat. But I'm very impressed with his skill set, and I'm happy he's in the UFC.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with the decision either. You know, everyone thought he was going to finish Nate Maness, and he just rode him to easy 30-27 in that spot. I guess if I was playing a prop, I would probably do the submission too. That, like, Umar is arguably the best bantamweight on the roster. This is a crazy step up in competition for Bezcott. The matchmaking doesn't make any sense at all. Like, why is he getting someone making their debut? You know, he should be getting a ranked fighter. You know, like, he keeps saying that no one will take the fight. The UFC just needs to sweeten the deal for one of these ranked guys to take the fight or just force them to do it at this point. You know, they're talking about title contention for Umar, and he's getting a debut fighter. Like, it just makes zero sense. I think he's on another level than Bezcott. He's on another level than most of the bantamweights in the division. So, yeah, UFC debut, it's a really tough fucking task. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the submission or is just able to get a dominant 30-27. But, yeah, definitely a showcase spot for Umar as well.
Yeah, I like that. And honestly, I think this is kind of a tune-up, warm-up before you get booked versus Corey Sandhagen in the next open fight night main event in a city somewhere. Like, they want to bring that back. Corey wants to take that fight again. And quite frankly, I think Umar kind of uses this time to, like, get a couple rounds in, you know, like, get some live action, stay healthy. But, yeah, I think the sub could be live here. But give me, like, Umar over 1.5 and Umar to land the most takedown same game parlay on DraftKings. I think we can get some plus money there. Turan refers to most of Afghanistan and Tajikistan. Thank you, Nandalal. I appreciate you coming in here with the facts for me. I needed some of that. And Big Bird UFC, I'd bet Mario Bautista plus 300 against Umar. I mean, dude looks nasty recently, but, you know, take your chances as you will. I got...
Can I say, this is very important, that I appreciate everybody in the chat so much right now. Like, we got a lot of live people in the chat. We really appreciate you supporting the show. So if you haven't, you know, hit that like button or subscribe to our channel yet, like, please, please do. We really, really appreciate it. We never ask for any money. Just free bets and best guess.
That's it. Yo, how big of a G is Sandhagen for willingly taking the Umar fight when no one else wants to? He's openly saying that, you know, he wants to fight Umar. He wants to fight the best of the division. So when he gets the belt, he knows that he earned it. He's just a G for being open to that. And yeah, he tweeted out saying if Umar wins, then he would fight him in International Fight Week. And that's a sick fight.
I don't know what it was, but for me, I loved Corey's style, but for some reason I didn't like his personality. And then after actually, like, looking at his Instagram and looking at his personality, like, listening to some interviews, I did a complete 180. Like, I think Corey Sandhagen's a fucking man, and I would love to, like, smoke a joint and go on a hike with him. Like, he seems like a fucking awesome person.
Yeah, his personality is rad. Yeah, he's, like, super into nature, photography, like, philosophical thinking. He seems like a very intelligent and deep dude, and obviously a really sick martial artist. I don't really love that matchup for him. You know, we saw in the Dillashaw fight that he struggled with the wrestling. Dillashaw got his back multiple times, was able to just stall the fight out. I don't see why Umar wouldn't be able to do that, just better.
Yeah, yeah. Totally makes sense. All right, that's it. We're moving on to a fight that's not minus 1,200, but we still have minus 375. Steve Astroboy Ursek versus Matt Danger Schnell. Bad news, Matthew. I think you could be in danger, my friend. help, I'm in danger. So Matt Schnell here, man, like, listen, maybe in another lifetime.
What are the odds on him making weight?
And making the fight. Like, you have Perez and Schnell on the same card. Like, UFC, are you guys good? Are you feeling okay?
And somehow, somehow they're not fighting each other. What is that about? They've been scheduled to fight 1, 2, 3, 4 times. That's four of the cancellations of Alex Perez. How are they scheduled to fight on the same card but not each other? I'm rioting. This is bullshit.
From what I remember, Perez missed weight for the Schnell fight, and then Schnell turned it down like a little bitch.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, the way this fight's going to end, I think Pepe's all over it. Listen, you couldn't make a line wide enough. You couldn't make a line wide enough for me to bet Matt Schnell in this fight. It's just not happening.
A mountain high enough?
A valley low enough? There ain't no line that's wide enough to get me to bet in on Schnell, baby. That was pretty fire. But listen, that's the damn truth. Like, have you guys not seen his chin? Have you not seen Schnell, like, get reversed on the mat by Sue Mudarji? Now, it's great you wrapped up the triangle, but, dog, you were getting reversed on the mat by Sue Mudarji. It's just not happening here. Steven Ursay can do it by head kick. He can do it by 1-2. He could do it by left or right hook. He can switch stances. He can land leg kicks. He can clinch grapple you if he doesn't feel comfortable with the proceedings. He's got cardio. He can make a weight cut. He could do it on short notice. Listen, I know you're all sad that you didn't get plus 300 on him in his debut like we did against David Dvorak, but let's be serious here. It doesn't matter the line's minus 375. Alessandro Nono Costa is a more dangerous fighter at this stage of his career than Matthew Danger Schnell. Like, take the nickname out of the equation. Matt Schnell is in danger. It's not that he's going to provide danger for his opponents anymore. So make sure you guys check out our karaoke session. I'll post that later on Shorts. It's a great time, but it's Astro Boy, baby. It's Jimmy Neutron time. We got Steve Ursay, and I think it's going to be by submission. The books have no fucking idea how this fight's ending, but I've seen Matt Schnell rocked a billion times, but he still tries to fight. Ursay against two different fighters. Alessandro Costa, he hurts him. Costa falls forward into a takedown attempt. Ursay comes around, takes the back, can't quite finish the choke because it's a Diego Lopez disciple. Then you have Steven Ursay landing the head kick, absolutely sending David Dvorak to La La Land. But that guy used to be like a gravesite keeper or whatever. Like, you're not knocking that guy out. So at the end of the day, he goes, takes his back, tries to choke him out. Just doesn't happen. I think against Matt Schnell, we've seen him very happy to tap out. So I'm going to take the submission on Ursay here, but I'll take Ursay inside the distance. Whatever I got to do to fade Matt Schnell, this could be the last opportunity we get. This could be like Phil Hawes.
No, I don't think they get rid of Matt. He's too exciting. But what I will say is that Steven Ursay inside the distance is minus 135 on multiple books. So that's not too bad. I kind of lean, like you said, I do want the finish, but I do kind of lean towards the submission because I just think Ursay is, while he's a good striker, I just think he only has one career knockout. He's going to submit this guy. He has 6 wins by submission. So I do like Steve Ursay by submission at plus 260. You can even get even greasier and try to slice it a different way. And how about this? I might just play this right now. Steve Ursay, round 1 or 2 grouping, plus 100. I mean, he could win a decision, but I mean, come on.
You're getting 50-50 odds on it, right? Like plus 100? Like, I'm taking that all day. That's fantastic.
Matt Schnell has only lost one decision in his career. Yes, he's won 4. But he's only lost 1, which means when he loses, he's getting finished. So that's 6 other finish losses, guys. So I like Ursay by finish. But if we want to get crazy, I think he does it early as well. What do you think about that?
It's rare that you see a flyweight fighter with such bad durability. You know, the only other person I can really think of is JP Buys. And, you know, generally when someone has a bad chin, especially at flyweight, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. And the finishes continue to happen. Bitch ass of the year award to him for that, for the Brandon Royval fight. I was on Schnell in that fight at a huge number, had Royval rocked, and then just gets himself into a guillotine and double taps. That was just so infuriating. So never again with Schnell. I'm done with this dude. And yeah, I think Ursay is going to finish him within the first 2 rounds. I agree with that.
Tristan, that you're sure is house that we're burning it down, baby. Just, you know how it is. So appreciate
Danny Lags. Thanks for showing up, man.
Yeah, Danny Lags in the chat, baby. We got
Bro, awesome. Listen, Danny Lags, we appreciate the man, that Marab. SG part. Oh my goodness, we could feed a village in Africa with that one, man. That was a good stuff.
Keep cooking. Yeah, I wish I got those same game parlays with the takedowns and significant strikes, but for whatever reason, New York State DraftKings doesn't offer them. It's fucking gay.
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy. You guys, they gotta open it up for the people over there. Are you gonna make UFC AC?
Yes, I am.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Floor seats, baby. We'll see you there.
Yeah, the card doesn't look great, but whatever. I need to see my girls. I need to see my girls, Loopy and Aaron.
Let's go.
It's like 15 fights, though. I agree the card is kind of ass, but it's going to be like – they're going to be bangers low-key. Like, everybody's going to show the fuck out.
Yeah, and for as bad of a card this is, there should be a lot of finishes. I think every fight that we've broken down so far, we've predicted a finish. So, this card actually might be a low-key banger one.
Hell yeah.
They're all low-key bangers. I love fights.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate all you guys in the chat here. Hell yeah. We're going to need some more options. Drake in the chat, man, our new guru's new biggest fan. Appreciate you too. We got your boy, Eric Anders, versus, oh, it's the Night Wolf, Jamie Pickett. Look out. Everyone's terrified of the Night Wolf. Minus 535, Eric Anders. I'm slightly afraid of that. Plus 400, Jamie Pickett. But quite frankly, I mean, both these guys love to clinch fuck, and you got one guy that used to play in the NFL and is used to moving around blocking sleds and had close fights with like Marc-Andre Barrio and even Jung Young Park. Like, he had arguments to like winning those fights. You put Jamie Pickett in against any of those guys. Oh, wait, we did. And he gets subbed. He loses. Yeah. Like, Eric Anders by knockout. It's Kyle Daukaus all over again. Or Eric Anders just got his black belt. So, yeah, I agree. Listen, Eric Anders, minus 535. In this economy, my God, I can barely afford to fill my tank of gas. Now you're telling me I got to bet Eric Anders at minus 535. But sometimes it's just like the right side. So, Jamie Pickett, the Night Wolf, listen, I wish you better luck in some other future ventures. It's just you're not a UFC-level fighter. And Eric Anders, he's at least proven that he's a UFC-level fighter, and he's fought legit guys. And he can win the distance. He can win inside the distance. Guru, what do you got?
How many UFC finishes does Eric Anders have? I see one versus Kyle Daukaus. And then
he should have had another one against Darren Stewart in their first booking. But yeah, he got the elite Williams.
Whatever. He had a chance to do it in the second booking and didn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Natal. Bro, he's got four knockouts in the UFC, bro. I like him by knockout. Or so. You know
okay, four. How many four finishes in the UFC of how many fights? 16?
Seven wins, four knockouts.
That's it? He only has seven UFC fights? There's no way that's true.
I said wins. What, you expect him to win by knockout in the fights he loses? Are you on crack?
Yes.
So I need to check your like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, oh, but he's only had eight. No, I said he had that many wins. Like,
All right. Calm down, Skeeter. The problem here that I'm cooking up is that Jamie Pickett has been finished in six of his 10 losses, which is not ideal. I just like, I hate betting Eric Anders. I hate him as a favorite. I hate him as a chalky, chalked up favorite. And then you're going to tell me by finish, like, I don't trust him at all. Like, they even have fight goes the distance at like even money, basically. But you still can get Eric Anders by finish at plus 100. So it's like, I guess I kind of lean that way, but I really wouldn't be surprised if he's the one that doesn't finish Jamie Pickett. I mean, Josh Fromm wasn't able to either. So
I like the submission angle, and for him to get his first UFC submission, he's been training with Nicky Rod and going very grapple heavy. Fought Daukaus very competitively, beat him in the submission grappling tournament. He's a beast. He's super strong. I think he's got Pickett pretty much covered, and Pickett's durability is waning. He doesn't really know how to do jiu-jitsu. Like I said, I don't like betting against black fighters, but I think Anders has him covered, and I think he's going to get him by submission. The BJJ disparity is pretty big here.
Yeah,
well, I thought you're joking. You're serious.
Yeah. I'll bet the submission. That's fire.
And listen, Jamie Pickett, just because you have a reach advantage doesn't mean that you know how to use it. So
yeah. And
I don't trust him.
Like TB said, Eric Anders just got his black belt, so I think he's going to want to showcase his grappling.
Guru, go ahead, give us a twirl.
I think Drake needs to find a way to be a little bit more respectful.
Listen, he loves you. I don't know. So live every Wednesday, 8 p.m. EST. Please, guys, you guys are killing it in the live chat today. Even Drake, you're doing a great job. Please, if you haven't done so already, there's got to be more of you in here than have actually hit the like button. It's not too late to do the right thing, so I'm going to recommend it. You can find us X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Instagram, Picket, Verdict, Tapology, BetMMA. There's plenty of ways that we could fuck up your day, but we got the best bets, the best guests, and always free picks. He just wants to see the back of the John Jones shirt.
There's nothing on the back of the shirt.
I don't believe him. I agree. Drake is carrying the chat. You guys need to do more work out here. I appreciate everyone, but Drake more than anyone. Maybe it's me. You never know. But we got Vinicius Lockdog Oliveira versus Bernardo the Lion King Sopai. Now, is being the Lion King better than being the King of Lions? That's what I need to know.
We'll find out Saturday.
We will find out Saturday night. So, Dan Levy, he just did the right thing and hit the like button. Appreciate you, Mr. Dan Levy. Best Fight Picks. If you guys aren't following his channel, another amazing show that brings more than just picks, but a little entertainment, a little spiciness, a little bit of a good time. And guess what? Pepe did a spot on there not too long ago either. So, hell yeah. Appreciate all you guys. Dan Levy at this very moment, especially. So Vinicius Lockdog Oliveira, what I do know is he's a fun fighter. The dude loves to get into a good war, keeps his hands low. He's got some kicks. He's got some good combos. But, I mean, Guru, what did you see on the tape, my friend?
Listen, if you have the opportunity to watch Vinicius Oliveira versus Elite Taleb,
yeah,
that fight is absolutely fucking bananas. I mean, what a great fight. I'd imagine that we'd be seeing Ali Taleb some point soon because the dude is very, very good. But the way that they go back and forth and the way that he eventually puts down Vinicius Oliveira, I mean, my goodness, like we'd be talked about as a KO contender of the year or fighter of the year type shit if it was in the UFC. The fight was incredible. So I just feel like if Vinicius doesn't kill Bernardo here, he's more liable to be – like I'm more concerned about his durability. Even though it's short notice for Bernardo was training at Goat Shed for his fight next week in Switzerland. Sweden. So he was going – he was in camp ready – peaking, about to go fly to Sweden. I just did it again. And he's like, oh, he gets the call to the UFC and he's going to take this shot. And the dude has honestly an unbelievable skill set. So I'm fairly impressed. He's got two losses, both by decision. One is a split decision, which I watched. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not really convinced he lost. So from what I've seen, the dude is fantastic. And I'm going to take a dog shot on a guy that I think has more durability. But Vinicius can fucking crack, man. This may be one of the most exciting fights of the entire night. So give me a dog shot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is low-key contender for fight of the night. Vinicius he's not in any boring fight. His style is just super aggressive and reckless. And, you know, he cracks too. He's got a ton of power. I like him as a prospect. On the other side, Bernardo, he seems solid as well. My issues with Bernardo is I think Vinicius is going to have a pretty big size advantage on him. He looks a lot bigger. Bernardo coming in on very short notice. He was preparing for a fight, but still. And he's very low volume. He lost that split decision because he just wasn't throwing enough. And, you know, obviously Vinicius is going to have the volume advantage, the size advantage. I think Bernardo doesn't do well when being pressured. In a lot of his fights, he likes circling around on the cage. His striking is a little cleaner, definitely, better counter striking. So he could definitely catch Vinicius. Vinicius, his defense isn't great, leaves himself open quite a bit. And like you said, questionable durability. He's been knocked out twice. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he knocked out Bernardo. So I'm going to give a slight lean to Vinicius. I think the odds are probably correct with having him as slight favorite, but wouldn't be surprised if Bernardo is able to land the cleaner shots, catch Vinicius, hurt him, potentially finish. But yeah, super excited for this one. I like the over 1.5. I don't know what it's listed at, but that was my the play that I liked the most for this fight.
I love it. I love it. Listen,
yeah, it seems like the market is all over Bernardo. They're giving him a very good chance to win this fight, despite it being on short notice and having the size disparity.
Quite frankly, I don't know what Vinicius really proved to us on Contenders. You know, I mean, he fought a guy he was supposed to beat, essentially. I know he opened as a dog, but he closed what, minus 400?
Yeah, he closed minus 400.
Yeah. Not to correct you, Mr. Pepe, sir, I apologize, but he's actually been KO'd three times. One was a doctor stoppage, and guess who it was against?
Oh, it was against the Mexican.
Christian Quinones.
That's not a great look.
Who we know is bad. We just watched last week. So I don't like it.
Fair enough. Lock dog is not the lock of the week, dog. Nice. All right. So Sopai, before you lose it. We got Eamon, not that brother, Sahabi versus Javid, not that brother, the snow leopard, Basharat. This is going to be a very interesting fight here. Listen, Guru, also there's another option. If you don't want to do a twirl, you could just take the shirt off and show the people the back of the shirt. You know, like, I think that's what Drake really wants to see.
Take it off.
Yeah, that's wild.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just having fun. But
I get it. That's funny. It's just,
hey man, we got Zahabi. listen, we're not a boring MMA breakdown show. We're just trying to have a damn good time, all right? So I appreciate Drake getting all after it. It was a shit doctor stoppage. The fight was like 6 years ago. Yeah, I know, but it still counts as a knockout loss. And we saw him get knocked out fucking cold against Taleb.
And another thing is Ali Taleb is Swedish too. His last loss was by a Swede, and now he's fighting a Swede again. So, although I saw the Albanian flag, so maybe it's just he lives in Sweden. I saw he trained at All Stars, so maybe Albanian by ethnicity, but Swedish citizen.
That's fair. It's kind of like there's a lot of like the Ilya Topuria, Georgia, Spain
idea, yeah,
you know, like it's all about Shamayev in Sweden, you know, it's all about where you end up. Mokaev in England.
He was rocking their flag for a little bit before he switched over to Palestine.
Yeah. Hey, that's it, man. Right. So it's another great point. All right. So here we go.
I've got the hot take of the week on this one.
What is it?
Oh, do you want to kick it off first?
You got to fuck. All right. So I already gave them like their shitty nicknames, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I gave them an intro. Why don't you do something here? What do you got?
So my hot take of the week is Javi Basharat by decision. There it is.
What's the line, though? Is that a hot take?
It's terrible. Minus 135 or something. It was the opposite of a hot take, TV.
Pepe, what do you got here then? That's interesting.
I think Basharat is going to finish him at some point, probably rounds two or three. I think the leg kicks are going to be too much for Zahabi to handle. I think Javid's going to be a little more aggressive since he doesn't have to fear as much on volume coming back at him. Even in the Victor Henry fight, he was a little more aggressive than he normally is. I think he wants to finish. He wants to really prove himself in this division. He's got a massive fucking ego. So I think he fights a little more aggressive in this fight and finds a finish, probably a knockout.
I love it. Yeah. And listen, I totally can see it. Listen, if you're minus 850, you better be finishing somebody. That's all I got to say. But ultimately, I could see it either way here. And I really just feel like I need to stay away. I guess there could be value on a prop overall. But listen, like Javid's the pick. it's like Eamon Zahabi's that, you know, that underdog you see in the corner of the bar. Like, it's hepatitis. You got to stay away. But that doesn't mean, you know, you have to go parlaying minus 850 in this economy. So
yeah, I don't trust him. I don't trust his durability at all to if anybody's calling for KO. Like, I mean, you watch him get KO'd by Hikaru Hamos. Like, we know that guy's not very good. It's just, yeah,
that was kind of random though. It was like a spinning elbow, but he hasn't really fought many power punchers though. If you go through his record,
not only has he fought not many power punchers, but what wrestler has he fought?
Yeah, that too. And who loses a decision?
He hasn't faced any takedowns since his debut.
Who loses a decision to Vince Morales also?
I probably would, but also it's very bad if a pro fighter does.
Yeah. So I think he's drawn pretty thin.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Jesus. You know, I think we broke the hell out of this at minus 850.
Sean Orr is all over the KO also.
Listen, it's not bad.
That's a good sign.
I appreciate you, man.
That's a good sign.
Did the John Jones shirt come with a kilo of Coke or bloody knuckles? I mean, these are good questions to ask.
Plus 400, Javi Basharat by KO. All right, you got me.
That's not bad.
Really not bad.
I think there's a plus 480 out there, too.
Ooh, doing a little digging over here. Listen, little grandma's couch cushion action never hurt. You know, you dig in there, you find a couple cents of spare change, you throw it on the plus 400, and grandma's not going to notice if that money doesn't come back. So little grandma's couch cushion action, you know?
Any donation we were to get this week, we'll put on Javi Basharat by KO. How about that?
Boom. There you go. Look at that.
Mic drop.
Bam. So, yeah, I mean, that's up to you people if you trust us on that. But we got CLD, not CLV. We got CLD here. Christian Leroy Duncan versus Claudio Ribeiro. Hey! Hey! What do they yell like 500 times when he's walking out for contenders or Apex?
Yeah, what
do
they say? Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! And it's like the most like, listen, this Brazilian couple that walks out with Claudio in his corner, like they would probably slaughter me. But like, my God, they're like caricatures, man. Like the whole thing is just, it's like the funniest, most socially unaware walkout you could ever see. It's so
and good. It's being done in an empty warehouse.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like, so like, what does it sound like stuff there?
You have to show me what you're talking. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
You haven't watched his walkout?
I don't know what you're talking about. And it's funny because I saw. Oh, not on. Yeah, no, I don't.
Bro,
remember.
Go watch it. It's amazing because they're talking about the guy, like who he is and whatever, and they're just like, just go look it up. It's incredible. Right, so anyways, what you don't want to do is actually watch the tape on Claudio Ribeiro. It's pretty bad. It's like bad leg kicks with nothing in front of it. It's looping hooks, hoping he catches something. I mean, CLD at the same time, like, could you be any more underwhelming from like a just anything besides your athleticism perspective? At the end of the day, though, he's got Ribeiro covered here. And minus 305, it's disgusting. But can I even trust an over 1.5 here for Ribeiro? Because I really want to play the over 1.5. Because, I mean, CLD, let's be honest. Like, even he gets a finish in his debut. But, like, if the guy didn't tear his knee apart, you know. And then if you don't fight Dennis Tallulin in your other fight, like, come on, Dennis Tallulin. Now you're fighting a guy in Ribeiro that at least he can kind of match your size. So is this going to be like the Petrosian fight where you're dancing around, eating some calf kicks, but you're winning on the volume this time? Like, you're the better fighter this time? Probably. And I see CLD most likely winning a decision. But then I'm like, fuck, like Ribeiro's been finished in how many of his losses? Like, God damn it. How can I take a decision? So I think CLD over 1.5 is minus 115 by itself. You know, gonna need to probably look into that, but I could be at risk of catching an STI in the process.
No, I like
Leroy Duncan.
I like it, and I like the over. Well, first off, just so you know, you can get Chris Leroy Duncan in over 1.5 at plus 137 over on Bet365, and the over 1.5 in general is minus 120, which I actually kind of do lean to. TB, if you remember when we were live watching Joseph Holmes fight Claudio Ribeiro, I bet on the over 1.5, and that was one of my I was so happy to jump up and down and watch that, because if you watch that fight, I mean, the finish could have come at any time, but hey, he survived. And I honestly think that this fight could absolutely go there as well. CLD, like you said, is just athleticism. He really just fights behind the jab, and he doesn't really have much boxing otherwise. It's really just one strike at a time, and you know, it's some decent wrestling, but like not really, right? Like he'll use the clinch for offense, but I don't really trust him defensively in the clinch as well. So I honestly think that they stay at low volume staring contest and push each other against the cage for a while. And it honestly could be a decision, but I just like the over 1.5 in general because CLD hits hard and I don't trust Ribeiro's durability, but I just think it takes a little time to get there. Duncan himself, while he has 3 round 1 finishes, he also has 3 round 2 finishes. So why not take CLD in round 2 or even round 2, round 3? So that's where I'm going.
I think what Duncan is going to try to do, and he'll probably have success doing it, is just push Ribeiro against the cage. Ribeiro doesn't really have many answers for that. He's been controlled on the cage in multiple fights, especially on the regional scene. He's awful at getting away. And we saw in Duncan's last fight against Dennis, the whole first round was pretty much just cage push. Like you said, his wrestling's not that good. But I think the line is too wide to on Duncan, to be honest. I wouldn't be parlaying him. Ribeiro does crack. The one thing I will push back on what TB said is about the leg kicks. I actually think his leg kicks are really solid. You know, we saw in the Contender Series, he turned the guy around with his leg kick and then caught him with a wide left hook as he was being turned around, like Drake is asking Guru to do. I think Ribeiro is live to catch him. I think the leg kicks are going to be his main weapon if he's going to have any success. And I don't like Duncan's striking defense. He's got that tall man defense with his chin up in the air real high. He's just asking to get cracked. He hasn't fought many power punchers up until this point. So I do think Ribeiro is kind of live. You know, obviously he's not a great minute winner, so you don't want to put a bunch of money on him, but it would be absolute scenes if Ribeiro was able to take Duncan down and kind of implement a Joseph Holmes game plan with him. I wouldn't be totally shocked. So yeah, I think Ribeiro is kind of live for the knockout, but I doubt I'll play it just because it's probably a shitty number.
I like it.
Yeah,
I think that
makes sense. Certain times. I mean, listen, if I followed true to the rule that if the money line is too wide, you force yourself to play the dog on some and of course with an intellectual scale, but on some level, like I would have been on Brandon Royval last week, like I tweeted about, like I was specific about, and then I end up on Moreno thinking like, yeah, you know, he'll probably get it done, but no, if you didn't wrestle, you're not gonna win. So didn't wrestle enough, didn't win. If Ribeiro can, you know, push on Duncan himself or tire him out or, you know, try to crack his durability, I mean, I agree. Because, you know, what you watch in Duncan is not necessarily something that I'm not impressed with what I've seen with him. And Cage Warriors doesn't really seem to put out a good product.
His performance against Petrosian was a joke. He was just like doing like weird spinning shit and like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what he does. He fights behind the jab. He has no fundamental boxing and then just throws like spinning shit and then will cage push. Like, yeah, that's all he does.
I think at range, I think his leg kicks might actually be a really good weapon against him. Right. So we'll see how he reacts to them. The jury's still out on Duncan, in my opinion.
I think I actually had the receipt. I think I texted TB earlier in the week and I said, Claudio Ribeiro could be dangerous if he uses leg kicks and pushes against the cage, but I can't bet on him to have an actual fucking game plan and implement it. Like, it's Claudio Ribeiro.
Yeah. With the power he possesses, he brings a certain amount of volatility to the matchup, though.
100%. 100%. Hell yeah. I agree.
So Listen, Drake, I got a feeling we got Lou Becci in the chat using a misnomer is my thought here.
That's who I thought. Free
Lou Becci on Twitter so that he can stop being Drake in our chat. But anyways, we got Mr. Highlight, Ludovit Klein versus the Savage, AJ Cunningham.
What the hell is this matchmaking?
Is he really a savage?
Pepe, go ahead.
They want to kill this guy.
What is happening?
This whole card is filled with a lot of weird fucking matchmaking. Like, this fight is just like a levels fight, in my opinion. Klein is on like a completely different level than Cunningham. Cunningham has no striking defense. I'd be surprised if Klein doesn't get a round one finish. Like, he should be able to line him up and get one of his patent head kick knockouts again.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, he should be making a highlight here. The minus 900 makes sense. I mean, geez, hopefully he's not like, oh, this is the fight to use my wrestling. But even so, he'd probably be fine, quite frankly. I know he's shorter, but he's got the reach advantage, Ludovit Klein. And, you know, not cutting down to 145 anymore, we haven't seen the same type of cardio issues. It's just, if you're a really big guy and he can't, you know, like impose his will, yeah, he can slow down and can have a Jai Herbert type performance. But same time, this is AJ Flat Earther Cunningham. I mean, do you see that Tapology picture this guy has? Like, American flag draped over he couldn't be more like smooth brained if he tried in this picture.
Did they get him from the WWE or something?
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. yes, totally expected. I mean, honestly, it should be a highlight here for Mr. Rudolph, the Ludovit, according to Best Fight Odds sometimes.
Is it just safe to say that he gets knocked out by Steve Nguyen? He's getting knocked the fuck out by Ludovit Klein on short notice up a weight class. Like, I mean,
yeah,
is that like, I'm good?
Wash your hands. He's going to, like, get a submission by some like disgusting way. But
like, round one, or fine. And just take him round one, round two, or just round one. Like, let's throw the dart that way. I just don't think it goes that long.
It's Muhammad John all over again. We're getting a 30-second knockout.
I mean, take that was fight into the dude came in injured. The dude came in injured. To me, that was like the – what was that fight that got James Krause invested?
Oh, Minner?
Yeah, that's what that reminded me of, personally. He looked like he came into that fight hurt.
How do you handicap that? Is that, I mean, and he got like tortured as a kid, had to go to a new family and stuff. Like, terrible upbringing for AJ Cunningham, but like, I don't think it gets any better from here for him if he's facing Ludovit Klein on a day notice in his debut.
What do you mean? He's in the UFC now. He just has to lose whatever brain cells he's got left.
Yeah,
that would be funny if he had a knockout like Mitchell's where he's like twitching like Mitchell did.
It just got to be sick. Like his older stepbrother, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Picking Josh Emmett made me so happy.
That was
who
sharp.
Got you there, baby? Who got
shout
you?
Shout out TB. I just said it.
Amen. Shout out Slovakia. We got
let's go.
We got a bunch of different nationalities on this card. Quite the melting pot.
Yeah, right. And what better place to do this than the Apex, you know?
Yeah.
Showcase diversity.
What better place to melt some pot than here on Chronic Combat?
Yo, seriously. Antoine, what's going on? Loving it. Make sure you're getting after it. Catch the replay after for the earlier fights. AJ Cunningham versus Weston Wilson. Now we're talking. That would be a good matchup.
That's electric.
Like, I think you could legitimately, like, I think you could get like HIV from watching that matchup.
What's that guy's name that booked the one fight? Garbrandt versus Kelleher. You're better than that guy for sure.
Yeah.
Was his name Josh or Chet or something?
Yeah, like whatever the fuck his name was. He's doing a great job, Gary over here.
fucking Gary. Trying to book a fight that everybody's been talking about forever. Okay, good job.
All right, we got the Pride of Palestine, Abdul Karim Al-Sawadi versus the Tajik tank, Lloyd Radjabov. At least it's not an Israeli tank, thank God. Well, we've got Abdul Karim Al-Sawadi here. I mean, he put on an absolutely impressive performance on the Contender Series, showing that Cage Warriors are just a bunch of fraudulators. George Hardwick coming, oh, he's like a two-weight champ or whatever they were saying, and minus 600 and just gets danced on for 15 minutes in the place where he's supposedly better. Now
that's how he got the nickname EPO Abdul.
Yes. Yes. Yo, what in Fortis? Is it swimming in the water down there? Because I mean, a few of those guys haven't looked so hot recently. But he'd be pissing hot if we tested him right now. Bring back USADA, baby. Abdul Karim's on the loose. Surprised he didn't get flagged after his Vegas one. Bro, hey, you can say whatever you want, but come on.
I'm all for steroid use in fighters.
Personally, I'm not, but at the same time, I just don't necessarily think that, like, everybody thinks that since USADA is gone, there's no testing, or like they have a better testing agency.
Right. Now yeah, they're still getting tested.
Right. Like, so they have a better testing agency now. They're the ones that work with the NFL and NBA. Like, I don't know. I just don't think that it's.
And they don't test Connor.
Yeah. Well, no, nobody's testing Connor. Leave him alone. It's fine.
All right, Drake, you need to chill out, bro. But ultimately in this fight here, I mean, Abdul Karim loves dancing around the edge. He's going to be giving up a bunch of height and size here. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this guy's a fucking Tajik tank over here. I know El Sawadi's on all the EPO and he's like shredded and ripped and has cardio, but the dude's kind of like on the smaller side of things over here. Like Loic Rajabov, like he could totally fight at 170. And now my biggest issue is like, if we go ahead and just like run back the tape, like, yeah, Mateusz Rumbecki, I mean, that guy'll fuck up anybody right now. He's on like a fast track to like top five status, quite frankly. Also, Wadi, I mean, you throw him in against Rubechki. I mean, geez, he's getting bitched out. Loic Rajabov here, I mean, you see the way he just lands takedown after takedown. And these are body lock, double. Like, he's doing, like, every single – picking him up, slamming Esteban Hibovic in his debut. And as long as Loic comes in here and makes weight and, like, we scrolled his Insta, the dude is doing what he needs to. He's preparing. He seems like last time, it seemed like he came in with an injury, if I had to say. Like, he couldn't cut the weight, couldn't make it. After, like, two calf kicks, like, couldn't walk. I'm pretty sure he couldn't do his miles during camp. Now we see him running, see him biking, see him hitting pads and, like, getting after it day by day. I feel good taking the Tajik tank. There's, like, maybe a couple dogs total on this card. I think it's going to be him and our other boy earlier, the Lion King. So, take your chances. Going to keep it light overall. You know, it is what it is. But ultimately, got Loic Rajabov here. What do you got, Guru?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up on a dog shot, and what I do feel is going to be a fairly close fight. You know, I know Abdul Karim El Sawadi has, you know, solid wrestling. But, again, this is a guy that's been knocked out three times, all three in round one. I don't trust his durability. You know, it's just a ton of feints and – you know, just trying to get inside and get takedowns. And I'm not sure that he's ever really faced somebody that is actually going to try to use wrestling against him at the same type of pace like Loic is. So I'm just not really sure. I mean, again, the dude is a plus, what, 300 underdog on Dana White Contender Series. Everybody is writing this dude off. I mean, we did our Dana White Contender Series show. We did everything but pick, I mean, we said to stay away. We did that. We even picked him. I think we just didn't bet him. I believe that's how that show came out. I think
I hate when that happens when you don't bet the big dog that you pick outright, and then
100%
they end up coming through. You just want to fucking
100%. It was so frustrating. So I just to take a Dana White Contender Series guy debut. Massive favorite now after being a massive underdog. I just like, I don't see it. Give me a chance with the guy that's actually made his walk before. I think that matters more than people think.
Yeah, it's kind of like a system play, right? Taking a guy who is a huge underdog on the Contender Series, who has a good performance, and then fading him when he's a big favorite in the UFC making his debut. Kind of like Tom Nolan versus Nicholas Mata. Type deal. And a lot of these contender guys have poor debuts also. My only concern with Loic is, you know, he looked like something was off last fight. Like you said, You think it's an injury. He missed weight. You don't like seeing that. And the guy has terrible cardio. And Al-Sawadi just showed like an unreal amount of volume and cardio in his last fight. So that could potentially give Loic problems. But Al-Sawadi is definitely hittable. And Loic cracks, especially early in the first round. So I wouldn't be surprised if he stuns Al-Sawadi, potentially knocks him out. Another thing is like his control is so bad, Loic, when he gets people down, that he has to work so hard and continue to get takedowns. And like you said, he slams people down and he burns through all of his energy so early. Like, he can push through his bad cardio, but it's not very effective. But he's definitely fought the better competition. You know, he's decent. He has a decent process to his game. But yeah, I just hate that cardio, being at a cardio disadvantage and coming off that last performance. Like, perhaps this is a buy low spot on him. I don't know how I'm going to play this one. Right now they have over 2.5 minus 170. I don't see how you could feel good about that. Potentially an under here. Loic looked really off last fight. Al-Sawadi has crazy output. He's also hittable himself, so potentially Loic can get him out of there early. I might be looking at an under on this curtain jerker.
That's an interesting way to slice that. I kind of like that. That's interesting.
Man.
And I love rooting for violence, so fuck yeah.
Yeah. Especially in the first fight of the card.
Hell yeah. Get those commercials out of the way.
Yeah, we'll see if Loic makes weight though. I think that's gonna be pretty big. That'll be an indicator on if he's healthier this time around. Yeah, dude looked super off last fight.
I think there was something off, to your point. He didn't look right.
Yeah.
We will see, but guys, we made it. Not the most definitely not overwhelming, that's for sure. Not the best of cards, but we had one of the best of guests you could possibly have. Absolutely electric chat today. Drake, appreciate all the interesting energy that you brought. Everybody else, thank you so much for bringing the normal energy you brought. That hotline bling going crazy right now.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, at the end of the day here, we can't do this show without you guys. It's absolutely so much fun to come on every week. Have a great time. Sing Ain't No Mountain High Enough or anything like that. And, you know, just have fun with the peeps out here. So please, somehow you guys have given us so many amazing likes. Get us at least to 30, right? Like, throw a couple likes on there if you haven't done so far. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already a subscriber. Let me just do the right thing. The best bets, best guests, always free. Pepe, before we pass it off to Guru to close this show out, do you have any final thoughts for the viewers here?
Well, like you said, I think it is kind of a difficult card for betting. A lot of big favorites that are supposed to win. But as I alluded to earlier, we predicted a ton of finishes on this card. So it could actually be a low-key banger of a card. There could be a ton of violence. So, I'm definitely looking forward to it. As bad as the Apex cards are, the smaller cage does seem to promote even more violence with less room to run. Like Ian Gary was doing against Jeff Neal. But yeah, I had a ton of fun breaking down this card. Thanks a lot for having me on. If anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, it's at Pepe_Sylvia716. And good luck this weekend with your bets.
Pepe, man, thanks so much for coming on, man. I hope if we were to invite you again in the future, you would accept, because absolutely, we had a great time. Love that, man, because we had a great time, and I think you're excellent, and you're perfect for exactly what the show is. You know what I mean? We want to have a conversation about these fights, and I feel like we did that. So I really appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate everybody in the chat, even possibly Drake. But listen, guys, thanks so much for being here. We're in the midst of just an absolute spree of UFC, and we love it. We've got – and this is why the card – listen – this is why the card is what it is, right? Did you see next week's card? Did you see UFC 299 in Miami? Are you fucking kidding me? That card is must-see TV from the second it starts. I cannot wait. We're bringing on Andrew fucking Gombis. Like, we're going to be rocking. Be here Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Eastern time. See you there. Stay safe. Follow my boy, TB Scouting MMA on X, Instagram, Picket, Verdict, Tapology, and BetMMA. You can follow me, the guru, Guru Scouting MMA, on those same platforms. Do it. Like, subscribe, turn the alerts on. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next Wednesday.